Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Say play ESPN on your smart speakers. Boom, we're right there. What's going on, Key? What's going on, Jay?
What up, baby?
Oh, nothing much. Just waiting for my body to peel from all the sun yesterday. You know, gotten really
a couple shades darker,
you know.
Ricky! That's all.
Well, Jay and I will have you know that it was cold, freezing, sleeting rain yesterday.
Horrible. Inside the whole day.
How is it that rain can exist when it's freezing outside? Shouldn't that be snow or ice? How's it coming down in liquid form when it's below 32 degrees?
And all I do is I have a picture of Key holding up his sandals the other day live on TV. It's like, this dude's out with his toes out, man.
Yeah, that's facts, man.
I know.
I was it was hot yesterday. You know, when it starts to heat up, you know how that is, Max, because you lived out here.
Yeah.
You've been back east for so long, and then all of a sudden that 40 degrees comes, and it's 50, then it jumps to 75, and you're like, damn, it feels like 100 degrees.
Yeah.
You know, but it was only like 75, but it's extremely nice. The Super Bowl hit it right this week for sure.
Yeah, New York, that one like unseasonably warm winter day, it hits like, you know, 52 degrees. People are out in shorts,
T-shirts,
stuff freezing. Like, come on, what are you doing? Yeah, so the final two head coaching jobs, guys, have been filled in the NFL. Lovie Smith was hired by the Texans. Dennis Allen's expected to be named the Saints head coach. Lovie Smith is the only African-American head coach hired this cycle. Mm. And just the second active one in the NFL, Mike McDaniel identifies as multiracial, his father's black, his mother's white, or should we say African-American, European-American, or however you want to say it. But he identifies as multiracial, and so it's not considered for the purposes of this conversation maybe exactly
a
the
black
same thing.
Head coach, yeah. Yes. All
right. Mina Kimes said yesterday that since 2012, black head coaches on average – are fired a year faster than white coaches. So is there a difference in terms of NFL head coaches getting hired versus getting an actual opportunity, right? Is every job an opportunity or the same opportunity? Listen to Dominique Foxworth on Debatable yesterday.
Feels to me like, particularly on the heels of the lawsuit, that it's always kind of felt like this to some degree, that there were black jobs. And this is something that I've joked about with people all the time, is when a situation is bad, that's a black job. Like, we're going to bring in this guy, and it, not only does he kind of keep the seat warm until you get to the head coach or the team that you actually want, but he also checks these boxes that makes the league look good.
And Dominique certainly has a point there, Max and Jay. There's no question about it. You can dig down to college football as well. We had Mike Loxie on the other day, the head coach of Maryland, and he talked about his opportunity at New Mexico. But when you look in the NFL, there's only 32 jobs, okay? Let's be honest with one another. And unless you are currently on a staff that is successful and a coach decides to retire, a la Tony Dungy, Jim Caldwell with Peyton Manning, that's the only time you're really going to get a plum job. The situation in Green Bay was such that they fired Mike McCarthy and they hired Matt LaFleur with a Hall of Fame quarterback, but the team was a bad team at that particular time that Matt LaFleur took over. If you would have hired a black coach to the Green Bay Packers with a Hall of Fame quarterback, he probably would still be coaching and even in the Super Bowls right now. It's just, those jobs are just bad jobs in general, whether it was been the Detroits, whether it was the Houston Texans, the Cincinnati's of the world. When coaches are fired, the New York Giants is a bad job. Brian Flores would have taken over a bad job for the New York Giants, even though you get a head coaching job, you're never going to walk into a plum job. That's why it's available to begin with.
Well, unless Jay,
yep,
it's an organization that hit rock bottom. They got the number one pick. It's a great number one, Joe Burrow or someone like that. It's a great number one pick.
Rebuild.
They have salary cap space. They're well run. You know, there are those.
There are. There's also, though, the perception of which job it is, right? So, like, this one. It feels like Lovie Smith got the job, but his name kind of came out of nowhere. You were hearing talks around Josh McCown. You were hearing talks around Brian Flores. Obviously, the lawsuit against NFL. It's almost like Lovie Smith got the job by default. And I think the perception of all that together combined with Houston, once again, you know, what just happened with their last head coach, you know, the fact that Deshaun Watson has all the allegations out against him, Kyle McNair and how they've handled all that, Jack Easterby, all the stories looming around this organization and the troubles that they've had, that would be the job that the one black coach who got hired this cycle ends up getting to inherit that job again.
Jay, you've had a lot of lengthy conversations recently on your podcast, Brian Flores, his attorneys, et cetera. Here's a statement from Brian Flores' attorneys following the hire of Lovie Smith, sort of along the lines of what you're suggesting here. Mr. Flores is happy to hear that the Texans have hired a black head coach, Lovie Smith, as Mr. Flores' goal in bringing his case is to provide real opportunities, let me stress, for black and minority candidates to be considered for coaching and executive positions within the NFL, the statement said. However, we would be remiss not to mention that Mr. Flores is one of the three finalists for the Texans head coach position, and after a great interview and mutual interest, it is obvious that the only reason Mr. Flores was not selected was his decision to stand up against racial inequality across the NFL. So, Key, did the Texans not hire Flores because of his lawsuit?
You know, it certainly feels that way. Right, especially based on the optics of where we're at and everything, all of a sudden just happened. Everything just happened the way that it did. But they are getting a quality head coach in Lovie Smith, a qualified guy in Lovie Smith. Did Flores's lawsuit allow Lovie Smith to be the head coach of the Texans? I would probably say it helped make their decision. I don't know that he was never in the running, because everything I heard is that they all, you know, they was always kind of like looking at Lovie, but also interviewing other guys along the way. So I think it helped. I don't think it was the final deciding factor.
I think Lovie Smith could do well. I hope he does well. But I do feel like Kyle McNair and the Houston Texans missed a big opportunity here. Considering what happened with Kyle's father, Bob McNair, and that comment back in the day, can't have the inmates run the prison, right? And granted, he came out, apologized for that. Considering the allegations with Deshaun Watson, how they've handled that, I thought this was a missed opportunity on bringing a guy to the table that players will fight for Lovie Smith too. But I think the example it would set for the Houston Texans, hey, we are willing to stand next to a black coach who's gone through a lot, even in his allegations and his discrimination suit against the league, and we want a guy like that who is a man of principle. And I'm not saying Lovie Smith is not all these things too, but a man of principle who is going against the league. We want him to be a part of our organization, and we want him to represent us, considering the history that we've had.
You know, this is not uncommon in sports. When you really look at what the owners of a league, right, collectively punish more than anything, it's when they think someone in labor, a player, steps out of line and starts to dictate to them. If you look at this situation, is the inmates, we don't want the inmates running the asylum or the jail, however, prison,
no,
however
asylum,
you put it.
You had it right.
Right, asylum. That's the expression. I just don't remember which one he used. But the point is, if you have an owner saying that, then it is not unreasonable to imagine that, well, look, here's the reality. This is a good coach. Plus, it checks a box for us. It solves a problem. But one thing we're not going to do is let that dude work for us who try to tell us what to do. If you look at even Kurt Flood, right? Kurt Flood brought free agency to Major League Baseball, but He didn't. Everyone else got the money. He didn't get a job. They were like, nope, not that dude. There's nothing that I've noticed. I mean, there's not. What I have noticed through the years, guys, is the owners do not want the players dictating to them. And the one who brings the change, the one who brings the complaint, whether it's Kurt Flood, Colin Kaepernick, or in this case, Brian Flores so far, is made an example of. The example they want to show you is don't stay in line, right? More than anything. Even if the message that you were trying to bring has an influence, you stay in line, and we're going to make an example of that guy. It's going to be interesting to see if Brian Flores works again. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Tom Brady's retired, guys, right? For now. Does that mean he's really done?
Oh, no.
That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio. And we're on ESPN2 and ESPN News all morning long.
Coming up tomorrow on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max. How aggressive will the Washington Commanders be in landing a quarterback this offseason? Find out when head coach Ron Rivera joins Keyshawn, J. Will and Max. Ron Rivera, tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, the podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
Oh, don't do. Oh. You just left.
All right. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless here on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio. So, Tom Brady was asked about the idea that he could ever return to football on his Let's Go podcast with Jim Gray, and here is the GOAT's response. Listen.
You know, I'm just going to take things as they come. You know, I think that's the best way to put it, and I don't think anything never, you know, you never say never. And, you know, at the same time, I know that I feel very good about my decision. So, I don't know how it feels 6 months from now. It most likely won't, but, you know, I try to make the best possible decision I can in the moment, which I did this last week. And, again, I think it's not looking to, you know, reverse course. I'm definitely not looking to do that. But in the same time, I think you have to be realistic that you never know what challenges there are going to be in life. And again, I love playing. I'm looking forward to doing things other than playing. That's as honest as I can be with you there.
Yeah, that's normal, though. I mean, you have been doing it for 22 years. You take a step back. You never say never. I mean, you know, you just say, I don't know 6 months from now, who knows how I may feel, but chances are it's not going to change. I mean, everybody goes through this when you play sports for a very long time. When you decide to retire, you're still working out to a degree because it's in your DNA until it's completely gone. The best thing that could happen to Tom Brady is he gets out of shape. That's the best thing that can happen to him. And he spends time with his family. Getting out of shape will allow him to get further away from the game because it will be hard for him to get in shape.
He's getting out of shape. He's
TB12 is a whole health and dietary trick.
But it, the best, that's why I said, the best thing for him to do
would be, I see,
is to get out of shape. That would be the best thing, is to sit around, drink his beer, live a normal life, right? Eat some fried chicken, drink some beer, potato chips, and enjoy life, because it will be hard for him at this age to get back into shape to go play football when the season starts.
I was joking with you guys when we were having this conversation before Tom Brady announced his retirement about the fact that when you sit at home, and I've seen him over the last several days talk about, you know, I'm focused on my businesses, TB12, I've been seeing interviews. Now this comes out, like, you have a lot of free time. And Key, just like you said, the training regimen, the way your brain is programmed to stay in its regimen each and every day. This is what you do. This is how your body stays at top tape, like top shape. This is how your mind stays at top shape. It's hard just to turn that faucet off when it's been running high for so long. It just doesn't happen overnight.
That's why you got to eat some fried chicken, man, and drink some beer and chill out with your kids.
Do you guys hear the key, the operative word in that entire sentence, the phrase? Because what I heard, the thing that jumped out to me is, I love playing. He did not put it in the past tense. He put it, kept it in the present tense. And the one thing I've wondered about, I have no problem with his honest answer. This is what he's doing right now. He's not going to corner himself by saying, I am definitely retired forever. Da, da, da. How do you know? But you know today you're retired, and that's how you're feeling right now. And he's leaving room for him in the future to see how he's feeling then. That's a mature way to go about it. But when I hear, I love playing, I've always wondered, when he talked about his family and how much they sacrificed for him and he's got to give back to them, to me there is a difference between saying, damn, I'm missing it with my family. That pull is now stronger than NFL football. I got to be with my family. That's different than saying, my family really is telling me they need me. And so now I have to sacrifice this thing that I love doing for that. Two different things. I wonder if it was the latter with him, where he was like, I still really want to play this game.
Of course.
But I'm being told by the people I love they need me around. That's very different than, like, I still want to play this game, but I can't miss that anymore. And the way he says, I love playing football in the present tense, maybe I'm reading into it because he just retired, has me thinking, he thinks of himself as still loving it.
You're certainly reading into it because he retired, man. He's not coming back. I don't see in any scenario that Tom Brady puts the jersey and cleats back on for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I mean, not for
he's
the Bucs.
Retired. I mean, it's just, I don't see it at all. I don't see it because he's just not that type of guy that is going to toy around with the organization. When he's done, he's done. That's just from what little bit I know about Tom.
But did you hear what he just
retired, though. He just retired, so
there's a difference between saying I'm out of gas, I'm done, I have to leave this now, versus I'm playing maybe at the highest level in the world still of anybody. He led the league in everything this year, right? And almost got him back to the NFC Championship game. And there's so much left there. Like, I'm Mr. Cliff, and I'm saying it's obvious there's a lot left there. That I think he understands that too.
Well, there's no way that Tom's not going to stop training. Like, he's going to train. This is who Tom Brady is. So as long as he trains in his body, that's why Keith said, get out of shape. As long as he trains and his body is
there, get out of shape, man.
Coming off the season he just came off with, he's always going to have that looming thought.
You got to get out of shape.
Look what we're promoting. That's so bad.
For him, because he's got to feel that pain of trying to get back to Tom Brady. If he gets out of shape, then he knows, this is hard work. But if he's doing it on a consistent basis, like all of us that retired early, or he didn't retire early, obviously 22 years, but still had something left in the tank, you continue to keep working in every single day, and then all of a sudden you say, man,
that's
I think
thing.
I want to play. Do I really want to play? And so until he gets to that point where he says to himself that I enjoy being in the sun and chilling with my kids, he's going to always feel that way. Getting through the first season, though, Max, once he gets through the first season, he's good to go.
You know, this is Andre Ward, who, you know, among the all-time greats, retired undefeated, still in his prime. And he was working with me on HBO calling fights at the time, right? And to me, the whole thing with that, because he's very straightforward and honest about it. He's like, I'm done. But he's not, you know, when you hear mature people talk about, like, quitting an addiction, it's like, I'm dealing with this today. Are you never going to do it? You can't speak to the future. You can speak to right now. Right now, I'm done, right? I always thought the key for him would be, at the moment he feels like, I don't know if I can do this anymore physically. This is no longer my choice. Now nature's making it. That's when you really find out if he's done. That's when you find out if someone's like, okay, I'm done, or I want to still do this while I have the chance. Because if you still feel like you have runway, you can play with that. But if you feel like it's now or never, we'll see if Brady feels at the moment where it's now or never if he's still retired. Mm. It's, by the way, with his retirement, for the time being at least, it's open for a new face of the NFL. That guy might be playing this Sunday. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Jay asked this yesterday. If Joe Burrow wins this Super Bowl in his first full season as a starter, can he be the face of the NFL? Part of the reason we ask this is when he speaks, people pay attention. Take a listen to Joe Burrow yesterday on his message to young athletes.
Focus on getting better. Focus on, you know, don't have a workout and go and post it on Instagram the next day and then go and sit on your butt for 4 days and everyone thinks you're working hard, but you're really not. You know, work in silence. Don't show everybody what you're doing. You know, let your game on Friday nights and Saturday nights and Sunday nights show all the hard work that you put in. Don't worry about, you know, all that social media stuff.
Lil Wayne reference, anyone? Anyone? Real cheese moving silence like lasagna.
All day.
Yeah. I don't know. Jay, why do you think Burrow can be the face of the NFL?
So I started thinking about this yesterday with my boys in this text thread. We were talking about the generational QBs right now. Who out there is cool but with like a killer Kobe-like attitude to a degree, right? Like a killer vibe. And you're like, Patrick Mahomes?
Nice guy.
Nice guy. Justin Herbert?
Also nice guy.
Josh Allen?
Yeah, workman-like.
Workman-like.
Yeah.
Like Lamar Jackson?
Yeah. Kind Lamar's of, one. Yep.
And
Joe Burrow. Is there anyone else like that?
And Joe Burrow. So, like, I start going. I wrote it down, Key. Swagger, confidence, easy to market, plays with an electric brand of football, great nicknames, Joe Thurl, Joe Burr, all the nicknames, and also big backers in the industry. LeBron James is a fan. Kid Cudi is a fan. If this dude wins a Super Bowl in his second year in the league, for Cincinnati, it feels like it's trending in that direction.
Key?
Quarterbacks typically are the faces of the National Football League. Every now and then you get a skill position player that is promoted at a high level because of his snack, crackle, pop and some of the things that he has. The difference with Joe Burrow and the traditional quarterback is he has what you don't see in traditional quarterbacks. And what I mean by that is a traditional quarterback, he says all the right things when he steps to the podium exactly the way that they want you to say it. They precondition you for years to be a certain way as a quarterback. He has bucked that trend, in my opinion. A guy wearing Cartier glasses. No typical quarterback in the National Football League is wearing Cartier glasses. The Mannings who work with us, they ain't wearing no damn Cartier glasses when they were in the NFL. I mean, it's just Joe Flacco wasn't doing that. Even the model Tom Brady wasn't having that sort of swag. Joe Burrow speaks to everybody. Okay, you mentioned Kid Cudi. You talked about LeBron James. He's speaking to everybody. Everybody communicates a different way with Joe Burrow. And I think that that is going to help his case to put him at the forefront when that time comes. If he wins a Super Bowl, he is certainly going to be a marketing darling in terms of the NFL. It's going to be different than what they've seen at the quarterback spot, no question about it, because his, as they say, drip, swag, all that sort of stuff is at another level for that position.
Yeah, I mean, especially Tom Brady, the face of the league, is now, at least for now, gone. And Patrick Mahomes is, like, to me, it's Mahomes at the moment.
Understood.
But
it'll be Mahomes for a minute, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because he's done a lot already. But if Burrow, who just beat Mahomes, well, the Bengals beat the Chiefs. Yeah, but he just beat Mahomes. If he then wins the Super Bowl, he's going to be right there. To your point, Key, this is what Odell Beckham Jr. had to say about Joe Burrow. Listen to this.
I think if you look up cool in the dictionary, there's a picture of him in some Cartier shades. This guy is smooth. And truly, as I was from afar, and then getting to meet him, you know, championship time, going back and kind of just kicking it with him, like, you can't help but like this guy.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you're talking about, Key.
Yeah, and he is, you know, the best thing that I think ever happened to him in his career is when he transferred to LSU. When he transferred to LSU from Ohio State, he got a little bit of that South in him now all of a sudden, hanging around the guys that he played with, Jefferson and those guys, Jamar Chase, you know, hanging around Thaddeus Moss, being there with the Stingley, the corner, and just being able to be around a different style than what he was accustomed to in Athens, Ohio, in Columbus, Ohio. It brought something out in
a little
Joe
SEC,
Burrow.
Brought a little SEC out of the Big Ten.
Yeah. No, I mean, it really honestly did.
Yeah.
And you like that. You want to see that, because the one thing that I hate is boring-ass quarterbacks. Oh, you know, we threw the ball here, and this is what we're supposed to do. Like, no, man. That's calculated. Joe Burrow, it's totally different. Mm.
Even when we talked to his dad yesterday, Jimmy Burrow, right? He made that statement. Yeah, he plays quarterback like a linebacker, right? Like, he doesn't mind, like, the physical punishment. I love that. That's like moxie, grit, like that stuff. It's like, all right, like, you want to hit me? I'm going to get right back up. What's up? And look you right in the eye.
You know, Key says, like, okay, so you could say he talks to everybody. You could say both sides of the room. That could cut a couple different ways. Because it could also be offense and defense. His dad's a defensive guy. If you come up with that mentality, that also helps you bring everybody together. If you're a quarterback who's kind of leading with a linebacker's mentality, that's like, it's the perfect storm. Now, look, also,
I wouldn't be shocked, and I don't know this, and I'm sure we'll see it during the Super Bowl, but I'll find out before the Super Bowl. I wouldn't be shocked if he hangs out with more defensive players than he does offense. I wouldn't be shocked at all.
Yeah. Now, at this point in someone's career also, we should be careful to, when someone's kind of a blank slate, we all like to put on them what we hope that they are or what we think they may be. We make generalizations. We make quick calculations about them. I'm thinking about KD, who was kind of marketed as like a quiet country kid. Remember, KD is
and he's everything but.
No, he's the opposite, because people are more interesting than just kind of quick snapshots. In Joe Burrow's case, so far, though, as we peel back the layers, it's like, oh, this is kind of what we hoped it would be, only maybe a little better. Yeah, if he wins the Super Bowl, he's going to be as much a face of the league as anyone in the league at the moment, at least.
Dude was asked about his chain at a press conference and told him, why in the hell would I be wearing something fake? I make too much money. Like, imagine that coming out of a traditional quarterback. And when I mean traditional, what we all know traditional is.
Yeah.
Imagine that coming out of their mouths.
A staid and, proper quarterback. You know, I know someone, though, who got turned off by that.
Who?
And it's just someone I come into contact with.
Oh, God.
And they were turned off by it. And I said, really? Because the way he did it, I'm with you, Key. He is so – there are some players who are so uncomfortable in their own skin that when they talk, you get uncomfortable.
Why was he turned off?
Well, it's a she.
Oh, she? Okay.
But because she felt it was like bragging about his money. But the way I took it was totally the opposite. What I saw was instead of some kind of false modesty that is not real, aw shucks kind of thing, he's got an iced out chain, and he's not going to pretend that everyone doesn't know he's the number one draft pick. He made some money.
I was just about to say, everybody know the man making about $30 million.
But it's so genuine. And when you can be genuine, you don't have to run it through a late. Is this okay to say? Is that not okay to say? Da 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 da. I think of someone like Cam Newton early on, especially, where I could almost see every time he opened his mouth, he's like, wait, should I say this? Do they want to hear this?
The difference in Cam and Joe Burrow. Cam was coming in heavily scrutinized.
No doubt.
Remember, the owner told Cam Newton, hey, man, we don't really want those earrings and all them tattoos and stuff. So he was coming in a certain way because he thought that he needed to be this traditional style quarterback that we've seen in the National Football League since the existence.
Let me be very clear.
This is different with Joe Burrow.
Jay, let me be very clear. If a white quarterback says that, it's all like he's not fighting against some stereotype from the first moment, right? I understand.
Yeah.
So let me use a different example. I think of in baseball, A-Rod and Jeter. Jeter knew how to say everything smooth, but he really believed the stuff he was saying, right? So it's easy for him to answer. A-Rod, to me, always looked like, can I say this? Should I not say that? It was felt different. Joe Burrow is not running anything through a metric in his head. Hey, should I? He's just telling you what he thinks.
And this is unfair, but it's the reality of the world that we live in sometimes. Just that two quarterbacks in the state of Ohio, when I think about Joe Burrow and I think about Baker Mayfield, I'm like,
another good example.
Joe Burrow is like what we thought Baker Mayfield was going to be. And like that for Baker, just watching that and that ascension makes it tough, Key.
I'm in Los Angeles, and I should be rooting for the Rams to win just because it's an L.A. thing, and we'll have another chip over a New York team that you guys root for. But I find myself more and more each day falling in love with Joe Burrow's moxie of who he is. I can – rock with him. I wish I could have had a quarterback that gets it. And I think he gets it. Remember, he played defense. He played defensive back. So a lot of that swag comes from the skill position. A lot of the other quarterbacks that I talk when I speak traditional quarterback, them dudes ain't done nothing but play quarterback their entire lives. They came out of their parents, out of their mom, and the first thing they did was pick up a ball and start throwing it. Where Joe was like, oh, I want to play corner. I want to be one of the first white corners ever in the history of the NFL in the modern era. That's what his mindset was
at. Jason Sehorn.
You know, I want to be the next Jason Sehorn. Yeah, yeah. And so his whole mindset is just a little bit
underneath
different.
It all, Jay, yep. I know you want this that he, that Baker in the end couldn't ball like that.
Yes,
what's underpinning what everything is this dude can ball like that.
Yes.
And when it matters most, he just gives you the sense that you're going to get his best.
And the game just lost Tom Brady. We think it just lost Tom Brady for a second. And you see a little bit of Tom in this
2.0.
He's like, oh, okay. Like,
It's different, though.
Like, I just said a little bit of Tom.
But in the respect that when it matters most, he's going to be his best self.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what this reminds me of? This is a little bit, and you we're all young, but I just know the history of it. He reminds me of Joe Namath off the field. Just his whole, you know what I'm saying?
Great
his giddy up.
Key. Yeah.
Yeah, he got a little Joe Namath in him. Everyone's been waiting for the next Joe Namath?
Yeah, like the guy, because it's such a it's a militaristic sport. It requires a certain, you know, like rank and following a certain way of doing things. So in that sport, especially in that league, if you at the quarterback position can be that dude and still get it done, oh, you got the best of all
worlds. I say it again. I've said it a couple times. I'll say it again. The dude was asked about his chain, and he let him know, no, this ain't fake. This is real.
I make too much money for it to be fake.
I love that,
yeah,
though.
Of course.
They will rally around him as a team to win a Super Bowl because of that attitude right there. That is just amazing to me that he didn't give, well, it was a gift, and my friend gave it to me. And he gave you the real stuff, and you got to admire that.
Not only that, when he's asked about what he wears, because like it seems like a conscious, you see a lot of dudes, it's like a fashion show at the press conference, right? Basketball, football. And he's like, I don't put stuff on thinking about I'm trying to impress this one or that or what people think. I just wear what I like.
Yeah, it just looks right.
I mean, like, you gotta, and another thing, you brought up basketball. Remember, he was a basketball player too.
Yeah.
So he's got all of that snack, crackle, pop that you want to see in a player. He's just not boring, and I love it. I wish we had the traditional Super Bowl press conferences like the old days, but because of the pandemic and all the different stuff, it'll be a little bit different. But if we had that, those press conferences and media day, imagine what his media day would actually look like. Yeah. And it may still be fun.
I mean, okay, we got Dan Graziano with us now. Let's bring him into this conversation, giving you the Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Dan, you ready to play a little overreaction? Not an overreaction this morning?
Yes. Does it matter if I'm ready?
That was not an overreaction. I'm going to say right now, that was not an overreaction. The Cardinals should be concerned that Kyler Murray. Oh, no. Wait, what am I doing? Let me start with the obvious thing here. Joe Burrow can be the face of the NFL with a win in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's not an overreaction. I mean, look, he's the face of the NFL this week, right? I mean, and it's Super Bowl week. I mean, this is the guy everybody wants to talk to. It's the guy everybody's talking about. He was the number one pick. If he wins the Super Bowl in his second year, the way he's doing it, yeah, absolutely.
Nowhere near an overreaction, right, Dan? He's going to probably be the face of, or one of the faces of the league along with Patrick Mahomes if he wins it. If he wins it, he's going to win the MVP, so that just kicks him up another notch.
I mean, what's the most watched event each year in America, right? It's the Super Bowl. So it's everyday people, GMA, all the big shows, Joe Burrow, if he won it, he would be everywhere.
The Super Bowl is our last shared cultural experience where in real time everyone experiences the same thing. There's nothing else like it in American culture. And Joe Burrow, in his first full season after winning the national title with the greatest season capped by the greatest game in the history of college football, he comes out and does this, retire the prize. All right, now, finally, Dan, the Cardinals should be concerned that Kyler Murray removed stuff from Instagram and doesn't follow the Cardinals on Instagram.
It's not an overreaction. I mean, there's something up, right? Like, it doesn't happen by accident. I just wish I knew what it was. Like, this is all new, and really nobody's really talking about it when you're asking right now. Look, the only theory I can come up with is he's eligible for a contract extension this offseason for the first time. So maybe he heard something from his agent that he didn't like from the team, and that now he's upset. But again, that's a complete and pure speculation because I don't have hard information on why he would do this. Sometimes this all comes to nothing, but I don't think he did it by accident, and you know, so it's worth asking.
You know, Dan, it's not an overreaction, and it's not a mistake. It's calculated by Kyler Murray, and like you said, we don't know. And the first thing came to my mind is they're balking on whatever those demands are that he wants for him, contract extension or whatever the case is, and he's not very happy. When an organization makes a mistake and erases somebody off a video or social media, that's a mistake. When a player decides to eliminate a team from a social media or whatnot, that is not a mistake. That is a message being sent.
I'm with you both. An example of this or analogy would be if you've ever had a bad relationship that has come to an end and you've pictures posted on your IG or any Facebook, whatever, and all of a sudden that thing ends, all those pictures come down. That relationship never happened. I am moving on and the whole world knows about it. I feel that's what we're watching here.
When you guys mentioned it this morning when we were talking about this. I forgot who, but when we start to hear about how actually he will play for the Athletics, baseball, right? Like, there's a lockout, right? The players are locked out right now. But when he starts flirting with the idea of, you know, maybe Oakland A's spent a first-round pick. They don't mess around. That means he can really play.
Oh, yeah.
there's some leverage in his contract negotiations because I agree with Dan Graziano's interpretation. Lovie Smith only lasts one season in Houston. Reaction or not an overreaction, Dan?
Unfortunately, I think it's not an overreaction. When you look at this organization and what they're doing, they bring in 66-year-old David Culley last year. They fire him after 1 year, one sort of impossible year, right, where what was he supposed to do? He won as many games as they won the year before without Deshaun Watson. And then it looks like they're going to hire Josh McCown, but then they pivot at the last second and they promote their defensive coordinator, who's 63. I mean, you hope for Lovie Smith's sake, and again, this guy has a winning record as an NFL head coach. He's qualified for the job. You hope for his sake that it's not the case, but given the way they've operated there the last couple of years, it's worth wondering.
I think it's a big overreaction because of what happened to David Culley, because, much like you said, Dan, the dysfunction within the organization. And one thing that I know about Lovie Smith is he is not even signing up for a job that's only going to last one season. If you think about it and you go back and you remember, Dan, he told the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I'm out. And they said, well, we're going to fire you, because he wouldn't do what they wanted him to do with his staff. He is not an individual to mess around with.
I would say it's not an overreaction. I understand his intent is that he wants to coach long term. But, I mean, everything from this organization, like you just said, Dan, has seemed to be a little bit chaotic. I'm not trusting the Houston Texans to make the right decision.
Not an overreaction. I agree with Dan. By the way, he shows up with a big white beard looking like
fantastic.
Santa Claus.
I love it.
Like, you know, and you think, oh, another kind of old guy who gets the job with the Texans. Is he in their long-term plan?
I hope he got a lot of real good guarantees written into that contract.
That's right. Or else it's back to the North Pole, Key.
Guaranteed money.
That's right. Dan, a reaction or not an overreaction? Tom Brady will play in the NFL again.
I think it's an overreaction. Now, I understand what he said. And I think it's important, you know, you have a podcast, you want people to keep listening, so you keep it interesting. But I think the whole thing about Brady and his success over the years is the work, the work, the work, the work. If he's going to take 2, 3, 4 months off, I don't think it's about snapping back into it at age 44, 45, as he will be in August. So I think it's an overreaction. I think it's something he's saying, but I think ultimately we've seen the last.
So overreaction. It's Tom Brady getting ready to sell off and have fun in the summertime somewhere in the south of France with his family.
It's always good business when there's a level of intrigue.
Yeah,
it's not an overreaction. Tom Brady just said he could possibly play again. How's that an overreaction? A coach in his second Super Bowl at 35, and his legacy is on the line? That's next.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.